May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 377. My soul, take courage from the Lord, believe and plead his holy word. To him alone do thou complain, nor shalt thou seek his face in vain. 377.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God, let us read in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, and then in Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 10. The book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, and then in Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 10. Isaiah 55. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Margin there is multiply to pardon. And that, my friends, is until 70 times 7, without number. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Now if we turn to Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 10, Romans 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. You see, the sense here is that that righteousness which is of faith verily believes in the heart that he has ascended into heaven, and therein our hope enters within the veil, and that he has descended first into the lower parts of the earth, and we have sacred hope, our sins are buried. Now, you see, that is the righteousness which is by faith, which God imputes to him who really trusts and who really believes in his heart, thou art the blessed one. May we each be favoured with that precious faith. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Esaias is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that not ask not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Let us pray. Merciful and most blessed and gracious God, we bow before thee now, but hallowed be thy name, and we pray thy kingdom come, that thy word may dwell in our hearts richly by faith, and that we might in some sacred measure know thee, whom to know is eternal life. Do bless us now as a company of poor sinners meets around thy word. Oh, do make it a living word. Make it to us the word of life, our very bread, meat and drink. And may thy word truly heal us. We read in the prophet, he sent his word and healed them. Oh, may we know some healing touch tonight from the sacred truth of thyself. So bless us as we meet around thy word. We come in our vast need. Oh, we're poor men. We're such sinful men. We are so weak in thy sight. We have to say and come to this conclusion again and again that sin is mixed with all we do. And we pray that we might truly press on and press toward thee. May we see and know thy hand, thy mighty hand, thy gracious hand. O Lord, without thee we can do nothing. We need thee to be with us every step of the journey. We've many fears about our future. The unknown way, Lord. Often afraid to continue. Often seem ready to halt or tempted to turn back. And yet we dare not turn back. We have to say, to whom else can we go? That's the words of eternal life. We believe and assure that Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, there's only one way for us, and that is forward to the throne of grace. But we need much wisdom, much help, much strength. We need much encouragement, Lord, to walk in that way. Make us wise in these things, to truly wrestle on. Make us wise in these things, to open our mouth wide in prayer, to fill our mouth with arguments, and to truly press through the crowd to touch the hem of thy clothes. Oh, that we might know something of that everlasting strength ministered to us tonight. Grant a little revealing of thyself through the lattices of the gospel. Oh, those who do know something of the sweetness of the streams, may they have another sacred touch. Oh, may they have another sip from Bethlehem's sacred well. And those who long to know thee, oh, may they get such a glimpse within the veil of their dear ascended Saviour at the right hand of God, that they may be cheered, that they might be relieved and delivered. Thou loose those prisoners and let them go. Oh, hear the cry of the poor and needy among us. Oh, we do pray that thou go before us every step. We need, Lord, that strength minister to us daily in all the changing scenes of this lower world. We need it to sanctify our troubles to us. Well, we can't face serious trouble. At least some of us can't, Lord. Oh, we're bad men, strange men, peculiar people, really. Oh, we've plenty of strength for worldliness, plenty of strength for an easy life. Oh, plenty of strength for carnal things, Lord, dying things. We really have. We've got a strong sinnership. But when it comes to trial, oh, we're as weak as water. Down we go. And we can see then what woeful creatures we are. And we think in our heart then, no, the Lord can't help us. We're not strong enough. We're not good enough. Ah, but Lord, there is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Blessed be thy name. So may we be encouraged, poor as we are, wicked as we are, helpless as we are, oh Lord, lost as we are, may we be encouraged, Lord, oh, to draw near to thee, to look alone unto thee, and oh, to pursue and to lay hold upon thee, in spite of all that is against us, all the condemnation we are under. Oh, may we be helped still to press toward thee. Do sanctify our trials, Lord. They may do us good. We may see that they are for our eternal welfare. And that we may see that they are for the best. It's thy mighty hand. And that, Lord, there may be real profit. When we begin to abhor ourselves, repent in dust and ashes, and we may bring only one sacrifice in our prayers. Ah, thy suffering and death. Oh, thy resurrection. We may plead the Lamb of God in our heavy trials, in our woes. Venture to Christ. Help us in this, Lord. Oh, may we ever remember and keep in view thy one offering for sin, for there's no other offering acceptable. Oh, hear our cries then, that thou wilt cause all these things to work together for good, those troubles we pass through. And that, Lord, indeed, thou wilt give us the victory in these things, and in mercy bring us safely through. In infinite compassion, do command deliverances for us. In mercy, tremendous mercy, tender mercy, do spare, do heal, do strengthen. Oh, do not deal with us as we deserve. Deal with us in grace. May all be favoured with an all-sufficient grace. Oh, to endure unto the end. And such a grace that can prepare us for our end, and such a grace that can make us willing and ready to depart. We pray these things because, Lord, if we're left to ourselves, we'll never be ready. Oh, if we're left to ourselves, we shall sink. Lord, we shall make shipwreck. We do honestly confess it unto thee. So remember us, poor sinners here, upon the face of the earth, ruined and completely undone. Yet we would look to Jesus, kind and strong. Pity joined with power. So come and minister the gospel, loose a stammerous tongue. May there be a portion for seven and also for eight. A word in season to one and another in their need. So hear prayer. Friends in old age, friends in weakness, widows and widowers, or those who are afflicted, those with afflicted loved ones, those who know the deep waters of affliction, those with that, as it were, cloud in their life, those afflictions, they wonder where it will end. Or does it mean the end is coming? Will the Lord be pleased to spare? These are deep and weighty matters. They're things we'd rather not come to. Yet they're things thou hast bringing to the lives of thy dear people. to stir them up to win Christ, and to stir them up to be found in thee. So hear prayer then for all in need, all in trouble, help friends in daily business and labours, bless dear mothers and housewives in the home life, bless the married and the unmarried. Oh, help us all in these difficult times, grant journeying mercies, safe care and keeping, preserve us day and night from every evil in this ruined world. Remember our young friends, we affectionately bring them unto thee, the young men and the young women, lead them, guide them, put thy tender fear within their hearts. And oh, we do pray that thou wilt bring them to dwell under thy shadow. Dear children in school days, and the dear little ones, and the dear little ones in arms, we love to see them and hear them in Zion. They look so sweet and lovely, Lord, and yet, oh, they grow up like us. And oh, they grow up to die. Oh, may parents be much helped in bringing their offspring unto thee at the throne of grace. Bless this people, grant them thy spirit, dwell among them, crown thy gospel with success, build them up in the truth, in godly fear, in every good word and work, in pure doctrine, build them up in love one toward another, in that love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Keep them to the truth, and keep them to the narrow way. And bless those in office, be gracious to them. Give them much strength and wisdom and godly fear. And give them a single eye to thine glory. May their friends uphold their hands in prayer. So bless this people out unto them from the world about us, such as shall be saved. May those who fear thy name be truly strengthened to put on Christ and to do these things in remembrance of thee. Bless visiting friends, friends from Fenstanton. Oh, we pray for the brethren there, and the dear brethren at home. Oh, grant us thy spirit there tonight. Help thy dear servant in his labours now. Bless him indeed, and bless the people, and crown thy gospel with success among us, all the assemblies of the saints. We thank thee for thy mercies, Lord. Our cup runs over. We've so much to be thankful for. We read, whosoever offereth praise, glorifieth me. Oh, may we be ready and oh, with a real willing heart to offer thee all the praise and all the glory due unto thy name for the mercies that surround us, thy mercies since we were born, and especially if we were hope in the gospel. May we only be living to publish thy praise, for thou art worthy alone. And we thank thee for the seasons, the harvest, now the coming winter season are to be kept safely through the cold season and preserved from harm and danger in slipping. But we bless thee for the seasons and a hope of another harvest if the earth remains according to the scriptures. But we bless thee for the liberty to worship in our land and beg thou spare this favour and privilege to us. It's about what may come in our land because we've really sinned. We're ripening for judgment. So solemn, Lord. Ah, we live in such a terrible age, this modern global age of Antichrist, a nation, a leader in wickedness, Lord. Though once, a nation that sent forth the word of God, and blessed it is still being sent forth, in even in these days of apostasy, and perhaps may be sent forth, and necessary funds may be supplied for the distribution of the uncorrupted word of God. Hear prayer then, thou spare this guilty realm. But oh, spare our Protestant liberty, the open Bible, liberty to worship. Oh, hear prayer to spare the gospel to this land. Thou hast spared Sodom if thou hast found 10 righteous there. Oh, spare this guilty land. For the remnant's sake, can it please thy great majesty? But now we ask for help as we look to thee. Oh, do loose a poor stammerer's tongue. We need thee. Don't leave us to confusion. Oh, don't leave us to put the people to confusion. But grant that help. We would see Jesus this night and plead thy all-prevailing name, thy glorious name, the pardon of our mighty sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Hymn number 277. Now I see, whate'er betide, all is well if Christ be mine. He has promised to provide, may he teach me to resign. 277.
Thank you.
complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost. I ask your prayerful attention once again to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 16, and to verses 15 and 16, and then to the Gospel according to John, chapter 14, verse 1. And he said unto them, Go into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Then John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Now I spoke from verse 15 particularly this morning, and I feel I must try and press on into the other two verses, the Lord helping me. We have here divine direction, the direction of the Almighty, a direction to perishing sinners, sinners with a never-ending eternity before them. This is to be preached into all the world. It is the Holy Ghost alone that makes the word life, power, profitable. It is the Holy Ghost alone who quickens sinners and makes them cry, Jesus, save me, or I die. Oh, how many among us know that cry from their heart? And all their troubles, and all their afflictions, and all their woes, and in all their desperate sinnership. So there is direction here from Christ in John. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And we have indeed that divine declaration to those who are troubled and look to Christ and wait upon Christ and press to Christ. Yes, he that believeth and is baptized shall be, it's divinely certain, shall be saved. And it's divinely certain he that believeth not shall be damned. Firstly, one must speak something of this sacred exercise in believing. It is not intellectual. Oh, my dear friends, many say they believe in Christ. In a technical, intellectual way, the Pope of Rome believes in Christ. I don't know about the Archbishop. Can't make him out. But the Pope of Rome most definitely would own the doctrine of the divinity of Christ, and of the sacred humanity of Christ, that he would not deny. Although, indeed, the papacy is full of many other errors, serious heresies, yet in that essential, yes, that church confesses truly that Jesus is the Christ. But this believing isn't a mere intellectual embrace of the doctrines of Christianity. This believing is the work of God in our hearts, friends. That's what this believing is. The work of God in our hearts. You see, it's a believing unto salvation. If you read in John chapter 6, many said, Lord, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. So, firstly, I must say, it is the work of the Spirit, and dear child of God, you know the effect of this and the power of it in your life, because, you see, it has a divine marks and an effect upon you in your life. It is always accompanied with real repentance, acknowledgement of our sins, humble confessions, and owning that if my soul were sent how the righteous law approves it well, and yet, that prayer is put in your mouth, a prayer of faith, a pleading of Christ. And you see, we go further here in this exercise of believing. It produces eventually a broken heart. And for a man to fill his mouth with arguments, and to wrestle on, and to not let him go. In this sacred believing, you know, there's a real coming. A real coming. The life of God is not static. I know that we loiter. Oh, I know that so painfully. Oh, I know we get sleepy. Like Bunyan's character, we fall asleep on the enchanted ground or nearly so. Oh, well, the dangers in our very selves, my friends. But you know, he that begins a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And therefore he will revive his work. He won't let his people sleep even unto death. But he will revive them and stir them up. And therefore there is a going, a sacred, holy moving. And in which direction? To the mercy seat. To the place where grace abounds. You see, there's a going in your heart, in your longings, in your desires, in your burdens, in your troubles, in your necessities, and with such a sinnership, a real venturing again and again to Christ. See, there's no physical movement with your feet in this exercise, but it's a looking upward. Oh, the thoughts go heavenward. You see, another thing, you see, there is that true committing your whole self unto him whom you very believe alone can do you good and satisfy your soul and give you your heart's desire. Now, in this believing, there's sight. Oh, there's a real understanding given to the eye of faith. You see, those who came to Christ, like the Syrophoenician woman, she had understanding, she had sight. Now, I know, of course, literally, she saw the Lord Jesus physically, but I'm not speaking of the natural eyesight. I'm speaking of that she saw that made her come. And the woman with the issue of blood, you see, she had hearing and seeing. First she heard, and it affected her heart. And then she said in her heart, but she didn't see him literally, but in believing on him, she saw so clearly, if she could get near to this blessed one and touch his clothes, she would be healed. And that is a true faith in its exercise. And you see the effect. Oh, she went after him, and she pressed through the crowd. Oh, the psalmist tells us it was good for him to draw near unto God. And if you have a true faith, there is a true exercise in believing, oh, there's bound to be a drawing near. And there's a beginning to see something of the glory and beauty that is in Christ by faith. Therefore, you believe those things which you hear, because they accord with the truth that God writes upon your heart. And therefore, in believing, you see your true position, and you see and feel solemnly your true state, yet you see in Christ, oh, such mercy, such love, such grace, such virtue, such power, such faithfulness, and such a glory that he will give to those who are united to him in covenant ties. That bride he's preparing. She will appear in his glory. Though there is an essential glory in the dignity of Jehovah which he'll never give to another. Never. But he will give his people the glories of Emmanuel's land. and they shall rest with him forever. And therefore, you see, there is a calling upon that name, a real calling upon that name with understanding, understanding. It's not just using the name of the Lord or bringing the name of the Lord in our prayers. But there's an understanding, you see. You begin to believe in your heart now. He alone is able. He alone has the power, the prerogative. He alone has that sacred ability. He alone has that tremendous skill. He alone has that love in his heart to compassionate my case. In spite of all my sins and all my shortcomings and all my failings. Oh, he alone is able. And there's also in this exercise, because there's a growing in the exercise, and though in that exercise we grow downward in ourselves, oh, the more Christ is exalted in your heart, the more the Holy Spirit teaches you of the infinite worth and value of Christ, the more we shall be abased in ourselves. Yet there's a believing in your heart as you grow in grace, you see. Oh, in his sacred willingness, that his word is true. You think of that word in Mark, in this gospel actually, chapter 11, though it's also in Matthew and in Luke, you see, where he cursed the fig tree, and we read this. He cursed the fig tree and went into Jericho. Then he came out, and as they passed out, Peter said, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. And I like the margin, have the faith of God. For verily, truly, verily, truly, this is a divine truth. For verily, I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, difficulty, trial, distress, or where you may seem hemmed in, and you seem to have come to a stop, whatever the trial in providence, in soul, in circumstance, or whatever your guiltiness, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Dear friends, the Lord understands my case and yours. By nature we're doubters. By nature we faint. By nature we're ready to limit God. By nature we're slothful. By nature, yes, we begin in the exercise and faint in it. But oh, may the word of the Lord have power upon me and over me. And the word of the Lord have power upon you and over you. And shall not doubt in his heart. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Tremendous word, friend. It's too hard for you and me. But the key is the opening little sentence. Have faith in God alone. My soul, where thou only upon God. Flee naked. Oh, flee in poverty. Flee in guiltiness. Fill your mouth with arguments. Though you're on the outside. Though you're on the wrong side. And though you're on the downside. Utterly helpless and condemned and weak. Plead him who came to seek and to save that which was lost. Plead him who died once, and only once for the ungodly. And in dying once, his all-sufficient sacrifice has atoned for all comers, and he'll never send any comers away from him. So may we plead his all-prevailing precious name. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Oh, it's a sacred word. Many years, you know, that word seemed too strong, too high, too great for me. In fact, I mean, this is going into a number of years after I started preaching. It seemed to me as though it was something that didn't fully belong to me until I came into trouble once, some real trouble. I remember going to the threshold of my house. That seemed to drop in with such power. Have faith in God. And oh, the sacred, he opened up and he gave me a precious faith to lay hold upon him in those matters. Be able to spread it before him. And I very believed in my heart, indeed, that he would perform. Now I know it's a God-given faith, but do you need it? Ask. Do you need this faith? Needy, weak, helpless sinner. When the devil's roaring, and oh, you're so poor, and so unfruitful, and so unprofitable. And oh, you feel that these matters will sink you, and you'll perish in them. Have faith in God. Bring before him your distress, your whole case. And reverently plead his name and bring the promises to bear and his all-prevailing name as the author of those promises and the fulfiller of those promises, and not let him go until a blessing he bestow. Oh, my friends, he can show pity. His blood can cleanse the foulest sinner, wash away most crimson sins. He can forgive and heal the backslider. He can heal the sick, lengthen days. He can supply every need, make crooked things straight. He can indeed open shut doors. Oh, he can make a way where there is no way. And he can visit you and take away your fears. He can bring you to dwell under his shadow forever. Have faith in God, the margin, the faith of God. Oh, there's a faith that God gives to his people, true in different measures. Some have the kingdom of heaven in 2 talents, in 5 or 10, in different measures. But have faith in God. And I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Oh, sinner, though you cannot pray properly, though your prayers are poor, though you can only stammer out prayers, though you find you have a wandering mind in prayer, you have so many infirmities in prayer, yet open thy mouth wide, wrestle on, fill your mouth with arguments. I will fill it. Yes, with help you to pray in filling your mouth and fill you with answers of peace and grant you your heart's desire, because he delights in mercy. The Lord you seek delights in mercy. The vilest sinner out of hell who lives to fear his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Yes, you see, let not your heart be troubled. Now you see, the Lord's people have most peculiar troubles. You see, these promises are written for the trouble. The troubled people of the earth, about their soul. About their relationship with the Almighty. They long for reconciliation. Oh, they long for the offence to be removed. They want reality. They have to face reality of their nakedness and their guiltiness and their utter ruin. They have to face realities in this world of sin, woe and trouble. They haven't strength sufficient to continue. Oh, the Lord raised, I was thinking this at home this morning, in leaving home, he raises the stormy wind and the waves thereof. The Lord raises the trial and the affliction in your life. Oh, seek his blessed face, for he delights in mercy. Oh, you'll have mercy and not sacrifice, not your works and goodness and religion. It's a stink before him. The only real religion has been satisfied, and may so say reverently, an unusual way of putting it, is the lovely life of his dear son, who fully and completely reverenced his father and delighted to do the will of God, and who wove your righteousness in every step he took, every word he spoke, every heartbeat in his sacred humanity, in all his thoughts and purposes. Oh, like the burnt sacrifice, completely yielded unto the flame in sacrifice to God, that continual burnt offering in Mosaic times. So Christ yielded himself completely unto the will of his Father. And as you read in Isaiah 53 this morning, he poured out his soul unto death, numbered among the transgressors. And it's that life and that living that pleased God alone, and he imputes the righteousness of him who worked, who wove, who wrought completely, to him that believeth and confesses his sins and looks to Christ. But see, in this believing in your troubles, you're divinely directed, you see, in this one. I've come to a few things concerning the blessed, glorious person of Christ. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He is the Son of the Almighty. And being the Son of God, he is properly and truly God, as your own natural sons and daughters are truly and properly men and women. And he's co-equal and co-eternal with his Father and with the Holy Ghost. And my dear friends, he was eternally begotten, which means, though indeed he is the Son of God, yet he had no beginning, which is a mystery. The Blessed One in three and three, one ever eternally subsisted together without beginning and without end. But he's the Son of Man. All the wonder, the mystery. Here you may approach God on this ground alone. Yes, he descended down from heaven and assumed the nature of man without sin in the womb of the Virgin. And he lived here as that blessed, holy, if I may say reverently, that lovely man Christ Jesus, the sinner's friend. But he's ended all the trials, the afflictions and the sorrows and the deaths we considered at Barrow this afternoon, you see, how he wept at the grave of Lazarus. Entering into the grief and the woe. Obviously the friends at Barrow are bereaved, and you see, and the Lord Jesus, he knows your griefs and your woes, your weepings on your bed at night. Ours the fruit of sin, his in love. No fruit of his sin, but in love to you, and by the fruit of your sin, he's entered into your trial, into your sorrows, into your hungers, into your necessities, into your temptations, without sin. He never fell. And then he received the stroke that you wretched sinner may never be consumed. You know the ugly scenes of your life. I know mine. Don't talk about them. Too ashamed. He received the deadly stroke, and he drunk it up, and yielded himself unto the death of the cross, my friends. He knows your rebellious heart, that by nature you're not toward him, but electing love chose you, and indeed equips you with eternal life and godly fear, and indeed sanctifies you, and truly comes upon you and lives in you, that you may indeed begin to seek him. And that eternal life gains the ascendancy over what? Your sins and corruptions. It's a life that's never lost. Oh, you see, where sin abounded, and you know that, we know it to shame and confusion. Where sin abounded, grace did therefore much more abound. And you see, the believer in his believing asks, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. How hard it is for a poor man deep in debt to believe, though he's the vilest rebel against that blessed God. And they looks at his life, and there's just no good or profit in it. He's completely failed. He's a wretch, undefiled from head to foot. It's hard for him to believe that the Lord will receive him in his stinking wounds. But the gospel shows he will. Both in the pure doctrine of the prophets, both in the ceremonial law, how he dealt with Jacob, who lied in obtaining the blessing. He dealt with Sarah, who lied in the Lord's presence when she said, I did not laugh, yea, but thou didst laugh. Oh, there's forgiveness with him, friends. Oh, grace pardons crimson sins. And how, as we read in the Gospels, oh, he forgave sinners. Woman taking the act of adultery. The Pharisees brought her in. Not thou grieve with the sin hypocrites they were. He saw through them. He wanted to catch him out. But he caught them out. And in a very solemn way he caught them out, my friends. For he's the blessed one who knows all things. He said, he that without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. When they were pricked in their hearts. Wasn't the Holy Ghost work, my friends? To bring them to repentance. You can see it was a very awful pricking. My friends, they crept away. It wasn't a pricking of grace. The prickings in your heart, the condemnations you know about yourself, against yourself, does it bring you to plead for mercy? Blessed be God if it does. You'll find mercy in pursuing after the Blessed One. And there is a condemned sinner. And the law says she should be stoned because it's a capital sin. And he said, woman, where are thine accusers? No man condemn thee. Condemn thee? No man, Lord. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Like the dying thief, she received a free pardon. A free pardon. Ah, my friends. And you know, just believing by the Holy Ghost, the work of God in the heart, these things begin to distill with such a relief in your soul. Raises up hope. Oh, you're fortified and armoured, aren't you, by faith. And you begin, and you're strengthened, aye, to put in your plea. And to wrestle with him, that blessed prince. And oh, to not let him go, till a blessing he bestow. Till you get some sense of peace and pardon in your poor, needy soul. Well, my friends, go for there's a real believing in the sacrifice of him, the glorious Lamb of God, the God-man. Oh, he died for the ungodly. By virtue of his divine nature, in his death, he gave infinite virtue to the sacrifice that he sacrificed as a real man, God's own Lamb. The Son of Man, my friends, he died for the ungodly. And as he died, he was the eternal Son of God. And God, of course, cannot die himself, but Jesus died. He poured out his soul unto death. And, of course, there was no division between the Son and the Father and the Holy Ghost in the eternal Godhead. But as the holy sufferer felt in his own soul, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I do not believe there was any division or break in the essential communion of the sacred Godhead. But he knew, as the Lord's servant for you, as your surety, as your lamb, oh, as your sin bearer, the awful punishment of a total desertion of soul. That is, he bore your iniquities, for God cannot look upon sin. So he turned his face away. And Christ felt the complete desertion as he trod the winepress alone. And of the people there was none to help. Let not your heart be troubled. The Lord can do everything. Why, he rose. Rose the third day for our justification. We read this afternoon at Barrow in 15. If Christ be not raised, then our faith is vain. Oh, the gospel's vain. If Christ be not risen from the dead, there's no gospel. There's nothing to preach. But Jesus the Saviour lives in the court of heaven. And not only did he rise the third day, he's now ascended into the court of heaven in the presence of God to appear for you who need him. And he's covenanted from that court, and he covenanted it while he lived here, but now he's gone to heaven to fulfil that everlasting covenant to hear your poor prayers. As you believe in your heart, dear Lord, thou alone canst help me, and no one else. And so you fill your mouth with arguments and spread your case. See, friends, there's a real believing into his glorious person. And in this, you see, there's a daily asking for the grace. The grace. What grace we need to continue. What grace we shall need when we come to the hour and ark of death, the swellings of Jordan. What grace we need to be kept tender, humble, prayerful in the fear of God. What grace we need for the subduing of this uncontrollable sinnership. Only grace can control your sinnership. Friends, you cannot control it yourself. It'll catch you out again and again. Only grace can make you wise. Only grace can strengthen your weak hands and confirm your feeble knees. Only that grace, in its distilling sweetness in your soul, can make him precious and real unto you. Oh, you who see all things, gather up in a most precious Christ. Let not your heart be troubled, but you are troubled. I did like that hymn we had, well, they're all good hymns, I know today, but that 151 this morning. You see the middle hymn. Yes, their heart confesses the blessing, the receiving of Christ, but then the conflict, you see. But your surety lives in all your conflicts. You who fear him, you who seek him. Now, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Your sinnership will always be a trouble. If you're a child of God, your sinnership will be your greatest trouble. The unbelief limits God, derogates the glories of Emmanuel. Unbelief, you do things in a hated spirit yourself without committing your way. In unbelief, you don't wait for God, you presume, and then run into trouble. Oh, my dear friends, unbelief grips you, and it were seeks to crush out prayer. Oh, that wretched unbelief. They said in the desert, how can God, will God furnish a table in the wilderness? What in this place? Well, will there be supplies here? Let's go back to Egypt. Ah, but my friends, and when they did get the supplies, you know, and that manna fell, you know, they got weary of that. You get weary of prayer and weary of waiting upon the Lord and weary of the conflicts and the trials and the temptations. Do we have to pray so much, says human nature? Do we have to be so troubled and so tempted? Isn't there an easier way somewhere? Oh, there must be an easier way. Look at those happy Christians over there. And so the heart begins to, as it were, cool down and look for an easier way. Dear child of God, the Lord will bring you back and he won't let you go in that way. And if you start walking that way, you'll find, my friends, those you go after in that light and easy way indeed are a complete snare. And when you're in trouble, they'll be your worst enemy and no comfort whatsoever. They'll sneer and mock and tell you ought to believe more and do this more and so on more and more. And you want God's forgiveness. They don't understand that. You want restoration of soul. You want the Lord's mercy to come your way, you see. Our unbelief brings into many troubles. Then I have to hasten on because of that time. Our pride. Now one must be very careful in public. It comes into everything, friend. You can't get rid of it. We're children of pride here tonight. You can't help it. The worst aspect of our pride is you see it in others, but not in ourselves. That's the worst aspect of human pride. Then those unmentionable sins, the corruptions of nature, the rebellions, the murders, the adulteries, the hatred, the carnality, the love of everything but God. Well, I'll have to try and hasten. Let not your heart be troubled. Look to my wounds. Look to my sacrifice. Believe in me. Believe that I am good. Believe that I live. The right hand of God to help you. Believe my word is true. Yes, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. We read in one of our hymns, Hearts 352, concerning the jot and tittle. You see, our life's minute subject to his eye, indeed it is. But his word is signed and sealed to every jot and tittle of divine truth. What Christ has said must be fulfilled. It must. On this firm rock, believers build. That firm rock. His word shall stand. His truth prevail. And not one jot or tittle fail. Not one jot or tittle of the law has failed. It's all been fulfilled in Jesus Christ to the believer. And the promises to the vilest and the weak and most helpless, they are sure, they are certain. And grace will bring you to venture, into exercise to wait upon your God, to draw near unto God. His word is this, poor sinners here, believe on me and banish fear. Cease from your own works, bad or good, and wash your garments in my blood. Plead Christ. Plead his sacrifice. Wait upon him for the blessing. Doubt not, he will bless. It's this doubting heart. I know it. I know it myself. But wait upon him who has promised. He cannot lie. Yes, let not your heart be troubled. Life's troubles, things at home, things, maybe rebels in the family. Maybe solemn departures from the truth. It fills you with dismay. Ah, my dear friends, and troubles in Zion, and so many worries, health and strength, serious matters, and you're so guilty, and you're such a sinner. My soul, wait only upon God. There's no refuge but Christ. No sure eternal safety, but in fleeing to him, the eternal rock. Ah, his truth shall stand, his word prevail, and not one jot or tittle shall ever fail of the promised grace. Oh, you need him, sinner. And as you journey on, you need him more. The Lord will lead you in a path that you need Christ more. Now I must pass on. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me that I've paid all. I'll never send any away. My blood speaks in the court of heaven. My loving heart has engaged to be your everlasting surety by the swearings of my Father. He swear by himself, he could swear by no greater, that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and that which entereth within the veil, whither the forerunner has for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest after the order of Melchizedek, a sure, certain, glorious friend in heaven, your high priest, and God has sworn that you who are fleeing, calling upon him, knocking at mercy's door, asking the way to Zion, may have a strong consolation. He will hear you. He will receive you. Oh, he will give you the crown, unworthy and wretched as we are. He that believes and is baptized, confesses me, owns me, puts me on openly, not ashamed of me. Oh, you are rightly exercised. Know the preciousness of Christ. He that believes is baptized shall be saved. See, that baptism, Jesus himself walked through. We can well understand John the Baptist saying, not so, Lord. Oh, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? suffer it to be so now, to put on all righteousness. And, friends, John's Saviour, John's Lord, John's Redeemer, John's Living God, took hold of the Blessed One and baptised him. Tremendous truth. Now, this baptism that Christ has instituted the church is called believer's baptism. Now, we call it that because, you see, as Philip said to the eunuch, if thou believest all thine heart, thou mayest. Now, the eunuch had been down to Jerusalem, and no doubt he had heard something of the gospel. He had been to the feast, you see, and he was returning home. But it seems though his understanding, like ours is so much, was so limited. He's reading Isaiah 53, which we read this morning. And he came to that portion, you see, as he opened not his mouth and so on. And himself bare our iniquities and infirmities and sicknesses. You see that portion there. And Philip drew near by divine instruction. You know, in the ministry we do need divine instruction. Help from God to be directed to the right text. We're often tried about it. We need divine instruction in these things. And there was Philip under instruction. Join thyself to this chariot. He's reading aloud Isaiah 53. And Philip said, understands what thou readest? He said, how can I accept? Some man show me. And he wanted to know whether the prophet was describing himself, talking of himself, or of another man. And beginning at the same scripture, he preached unto him Jesus. The preciousness of Christ filled his heart, you see. He began to see such a glory and beauty. You see, like those garments in the priesthood. Garments for glory and beauty. The blue, the divinity, the heavenly. Oh, the scarlet. The sacred humanity, the blood of the everlasting covenant, you see, the scarlet red, and the purple, the blend of the sacred union between the Son of God and the Son of Man, in that hypostatical union of God and man together in the glorious person, the wrought gold, the infinite worth and preciousness. And again, you see, the breastplate, where the names of the 12 tribes are engraved on each of the gemstones. Oh, the worth of Christ. And these things began to be engraved in his heart. And he was so affected by the preaching of Philip. And Philip must have spoken to him the New Testament commandment. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And from that very portion, he must have spoken of gospel ordinances. And they come to water. See, here is water. What into me to be baptized? If thou believest all thine heart, thou mayest. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, I must hasten. See, this baptism represents a number of things. Being buried with him. Completely immersed in his love. Rising to newness of life, old things passing away. Sins buried, sins put away forever and ever. The sins that trouble you today, believer, put away in Christ forever and forever. And rising unto newness of life, sets forth the waters coming over his soul, over his head, you see. Jeremiah speaks of the waters over him in the troubles of his soul. The psalmist speaks of the same. Oh, Jonah spoke of the same. And my dear friends, oh, the anger of God poured out upon the Son. And yet you're immersed in his love and lose your sins. And rise again unto newness of life. So it's also a type and really of the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ. He that believeth and is baptized owns this to be his only hope for time and eternity. What? My life, my death, my living person. Oh, I who am risen from the dead and ascended. The only hope of a true believer. And you see, shall be saved. All those that put on Christ, wait upon Christ, cannot keep away from Christ. The devil does everything to destroy the precious gospel and to try and undermine the faith of these humble believers. But you who know something of the sweetness of the streams, the tender mercies of your God in waiting upon your God, be not ashamed of him. Those that are ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of in that day. But those that confess him before men, he will confess before his Father. The Lord knows your weakness and my weakness. He knows your sinnership. 1,000 objections rise up in your soul. Look at your sinnership. All you'll bring shame. You'll never endure. And the Lord will cast you out. It's all in imagination or wildfire. There's no real truth in it. Oh, you press to Christ who need Christ. Your nakedness is a truth. Eternity is a real reality to you. Oh, your sinnership is very great. Yet you know there's only one blessed one that can satisfy you. Press to him. And when thou dost believe with all thine heart. He still had a wicked heart of unbelief in his nature. He still had inside him a sinnership. But you see, God gave him light and understanding, and he truly believed in his heart. And where sin abounded, grace superabounded here. Thou art the Christ. He wasn't holy in his human nature, but he believed and saw by faith. The beauties of Christ that meant something to him. Christ was precious. The Apostle Peter describes Bethanyacan, unto them which believe, he is precious. You who seek a precious Christ, well, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But it is very solemn. He that believeth not shall be damned, and that forever. If any man draw back, says the Apostle at the close of Hebrews 12, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but unto them that believe to the saving of the soul. Yes, and the gospel ordinance is set forth, his flesh being meat indeed, your bread. In him we live and move and have our being. You have to live upon him in your afflictions, in your troubles, in your responsibilities, in the way he leads you and guides you. You have to live upon him for his atonement. Or while you have a sinnership, you please him and have to eat the sweet truth of him. It goes right down to the very circumstances of your life. And his blood is drink indeed. Oh, the sacred emblem of the red wine sets forth, my dear friends, the blood of the everlasting covenant. I say to the friends at home, you know, and then when I have to take them on to elsewhere, you feel so unfit at times in coming to the Lord's Supper, so wretched in the sight of God. Plead that precious blood. Oh, confess your sins at the gospel table. Confess those same sins at the gospel table. You have to confess during the day. You won't get rid of a sinnership and then be able to come. You have to come here a believing sinner in the merit and worth of Christ. You see, this believing has a certain preciousness. I wanted to say earlier, and it slipped my mind, it comes back now. In this true believing, there's a worship, you know. When Christ is precious to your soul, you worship him. You begin to know the beginning of adoration. And your poor heart humbly and implicitly trusts in him and gives him the glory. But oh no, perhaps as you journey on, the scenes change and this old unbelief and these troubles come and sins come. Oh, but you turn to Christ as a believer. You plead Christ at every turn in all your troubles. A bleeding Christ is all they plead and all that guilty sinners need. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. May we each be helped to look to him. What did the Lord Jesus say to poor Jairus? There may be those who feel things are too late. Your troubles are upon you. you've a wasted life. Or you've gone to chapel, but oh, the Lord knows your barrenness. So the temptation comes, it's too late. Or the enemy might say, the decree is passed. Oh, the decree is passed. These judgments will destroy you. It's no use you seeking the Lord. Well, Jairus came to Christ. There was true faith, wasn't there? My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and heal her. And Jesus came. He got waylaid by the woman with the issue of blood. Oh, she was healed. And then after that, they journey on again, but hardly left this woman. Oh, the message comes. Trouble the master no further. She's dead. It's too late now. Be not afraid, only believe. He said to a poor man where it was too late, only believe. Be not afraid. Believe that I am he. Or you who have that exercise commenced like Jairus and things are going completely wrong. Oh, things are upside down. The Lord is silent. Judgments may come. The devil roars. Be not afraid. Only believe that I am the resurrection, the life. I can do everything. As he said when he rose again, we read in Matthew, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And so they journey on, and he receives them very ill manners from the household. He said, while this are doing, weeping, of course, they were very sad and distressed at the loss of a dear one. And he said, while this are do, she's not dead but sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn. Laughed at him. No, but they denied. They said, oh, how foolish for him to say that. We know she's died. You may say, oh, it's so foolish for the minister to speak these words. He doesn't know my bad, bad case. Ah, but he turned them all out. The secrets of the Lord, my friends, are hidden away in your life, in your soul. He was left alone. And when the Lord blesses you, you're alone with him, you see. And you want to get away from the world, be alone before God. And he said, Talitha Cumai, little maid arise. She arose. Blessed be God. Sinner, this side of the grave, nothing is too hard for the Lord. Let not your heart be troubled. I'm a good God. Ah, my Father is love, and I am love, and the Holy Ghost is love. And all beginning that work in you is a work of love and grace. Yes, and I'll finish that work. Look unto me alone. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. I long to carry on, but I can't because of time. We've got to get home. Well, may we look to Jesus, kind and strong. Pity joined with power. Let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. Lord, bless that which has been true, and of the Holy Ghost. May something remain to do us poor sinners good. May we know thee as our blessed Saviour, our dear Redeemer. So show us thy salvation. Now forgive anything spoken wrong in thy sight tonight, anything in doctrine or in experience. Pardon it, Lord. But now grant us safe journeys. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £610, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Woodhouse is expected to preach on Friday evening with a collection for the TBS, and Mr. Broom is expected to preach next Lord's Day and hopes to address the Sunday school. There will also be a church meeting on Tuesday evening at 7:30. Hymn 144. Jesus, my all to heaven is gone. He whom I fix my hopes upon, his track I see and I'll pursue the narrow way till him I view. 144.
Thank you.
of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost, abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.